Today is Wednesday, July 2nd, 2025, and you're listening to the World Socialist Website. Senate passes Trump's class war bill to cut taxes for the rich and wreck Medicaid, by Barry Gray. The U.S. Senate, on Tuesday, passed Donald Trump's class war budget bill, sending it to the House for reconciliation and final passage later this week. The bill is one of the largest transfers of wealth from workers and the poor to the oligarchy in U.S. history. It calls for $930 billion in cuts to the Medicaid program, which, according to the Congressional Budget Office, will deprive 11.8 million low-income and disabled workers of medical care. It also includes $285 billion in food stamp cuts, a 20% reduction in a program on which 40 million Americans rely to feed themselves and their families. Nearly 11 million people, including 4 million children, could lose food assistance. In addition, it rolls back clean energy tax incentives and cuts student loan debt relief by $320 billion. These savage cuts will help offset the cost of permanently extending the $3.8 trillion in tax cuts, overwhelmingly for the top 1%, passed during Trump's first term. It is estimated that the top 1% will see an average income increase of 3.9% or $389,000 per year, while the poorest 20% face a 6.8% income reduction. The bill additionally allocates $350 billion for border and national security, that is, for the immigration Gestapo and the instruments of imperialist war around the globe. This includes $46 billion to complete Trump's border wall, and $45 billion to expand migrant detention facilities. It also provides for the hiring of 10,000 new Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE agents, and 3,000 new Border Patrol officers. The legislation further increases U.S. military spending for 2025, already at a record $1 trillion, by an additional $150 billion, as American imperialism prepares for war against China. The bill marks a new stage in a process that has unfolded over the past half century. Medicaid, passed in 1965, was a cornerstone of Lyndon Johnson's Great Society and War on Poverty programs, and the last significant social reform enacted in the United States. Over the past 60 years, the ruling class has waged an unrelenting social counter-revolution. Both the Democrats and the Republicans have overseen the slashing of social programs to pay for repeated bailouts of Wall Street and the corporate ruling elite. The gutting of Medicaid marks a turning point. These policies will generate enormous popular opposition. Even a poll published by Fox News showed that Americans oppose the budget bill by 59% to 38%. It will further fuel growing anger among workers and young people, already expressed in the 11 million who protested on No King's Day last month, and the upset victory of Zoran Mamandi, who calls himself a democratic socialist, in the New York Democratic mayoral primary election. The passage of Trump's class war bill makes the most powerful case for social revolution and the expropriation of the oligarchy. It is a naked expression of class rule, a sweeping assault dictated by and for the billionaires who dominate American society. The legislation represents the policy of the corporate financial elite embodied in the fascistic Trump administration and demonstrates with brutal clarity that the capitalist state, including both big business parties, exists solely to defend and expand the wealth and power of this parasitic class. The bill will also intensify the economic crisis of U.S. and world capitalism, adding $3.3 trillion to the U.S. national debt, already at more than $36 trillion, and raising the debt limit by $5 trillion. This crisis, which is undermining the position of the dollar as the world's reserve currency, will drive the ruling class to intensify its assault on the social conditions of the working class, moving it to shred all that remain of the social safety net, including Medicare and Social Security. These policies can be imposed only through the destruction of democratic rights and the imposition of dictatorship. Significantly, at the very moment the Senate passed Trump's bill, with Vice President J.D. Vance casting the deciding vote to break a 50-50 tie, the president was in Florida, touting the opening of a new concentration camp for immigrants, dubbed Alligator Alcatraz. Neither the Democratic Party nor the trade union apparatus has taken any serious measure to oppose the budget assault on the working class. Neither has called a single protest, let alone advocated a strike action. Both are petrified of any move that might encourage popular protest, for fear of a social movement that could threaten the capitalist system. The Democrats, engaged in a series of cynical maneuvers to posture as opponents of the bill, including forcing a reading of the entire nearly 1,000-page document on the Senate floor, and a 26-hour votorama in which they read out amendments they knew would never pass. In reality, the Democrats support brutal cuts in social programs to pay for ever-widening military aggression and help offset U.S. capitalism's debt and dollar crisis. The working class is confronting an oligarchy that is absolutely ruthless in the pursuit of its interest, a ruling elite that will stop at nothing to preserve its wealth and power. The notion that the interest of workers can be secured through minimal reforms, proposed by figures like Mamdani and the Democratic Socialist of America, by pushing the Democratic Party to the left, is a dangerous fiction. The Socialist Equality Party, the SEP, is fighting to arm the growing resistance of workers and youth with a socialist program and revolutionary leadership. The path forward lies in building a mass movement independent of both capitalist parties to expropriate the corporations and banks, placing them under the democratic control of the working class, and transforming them into public utilities that serve human need, not private profit. To organize and lead this fight, the SEP calls on workers to build rank-and-file committees in every workplace and neighborhood, independent of the union bureaucracy and the Democratic Party. These committees must be the foundation for a general strike to bring down the Trump administration and fight for a workers' government based on social equality, genuine democracy, and internationalism. The working class must seize political power, expropriate the financial oligarchy, and reconstruct society on the basis of human need, not private profit. Touting opening of Florida concentration camp, Trump threatens to denaturalize and deport U.S. citizens, by Jacob Cross. On Tuesday, President Donald Trump traveled to a remote airport in the Florida Everglades to promote the opening of a concentration camp. He was joined there by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, and Deputy White House Advisor Stephen Miller. The concentration camp sits atop a concrete airport pad, isolated in the swamplands of the Florida Everglades. Trump claimed the tents are air-conditioned, but the extreme heat and humidity of the Florida summer make humane conditions virtually impossible, particularly if generators fail or fuel supplies run out. If a hurricane were to strike the area, the tents would offer no meaningful protection. The result could be catastrophic, with an unknown number of potential deaths. The facility is an abandoned airport previously known as the Dade Collier Training and Transition Airport, located in Okeechobee, Florida. Construction began in 1968 with the Big Cypress National Preserve, but was halted in 1970, following widespread opposition from environmentalists and the cancellation of the Boeing 2707, a proposed American supersonic passenger jet that was expected to operate from the site. In what Trump and his fascist supporters are calling Alligator Alcatraz, some 5,000 people are expected to be herded into the hastily constructed facility in remote South Florida. Governor DeSantis announced that transfers would begin on July 2nd. Before departing the White House on Tuesday morning to tour and promote the opening of the detention center, Trump was asked whether the camp would serve as a model going forward. He replied, "It can be. You don't always have land so beautiful and so secure. You have a lot of bodyguards and a lot of cops that are in the form of alligators, so you don't have to pay them so much. But I wouldn't want to run through the Everglades for long. We'll keep people where they're supposed to be. This is a very important thing." End quote. As part of a far-right media blitz aimed at normalizing the construction of remote concentration camps for immigrants and political opponents of the U.S. government, the Republican Party is now selling merchandise to promote the Florida camp, complete with hats emblazoned with alligators. It's the American fascist equivalent of the Nazis selling beer koozies or ashtrays to commemorate Auschwitz. In promoting the opening of the camp last week, the official Department of Homeland Security account posted an AI-generated image of an alligator wearing an ice hat. On Tuesday, fascist streamer Benny Johnson appeared at the facility wearing his own piece of war crime kitsch. Today, and in the week leading up to the opening of the concentration camp, Fox News host openly celebrated the prospect of immigrants and detainees being mauled or eaten by alligators. Last week, fascist Fox host Jesse Waters declared his support for, quote, "putting American prisoners in a swamp surrounded by gators," adding, "You keep hearing about all these escape attempts. I mean, what's more of a deterrent than getting eaten by an alligator?" At a press conference held after touring the facility, Trump threatened to send U.S. citizens to the camp. "But we also have a lot of bad people that have been here for a long time. They're not new to our country. They're old to our country. Many of them were born in our country. I think we ought to get them the hell out of here too. You want to know the truth. So maybe that will be the next job we work on together." End quote. At the same press conference, Trump was asked by a fascist reporter to respond to communist Zohran Mamdani and the New York State Assembly's pledge during his nomination speech to defy ICE and prevent its agents from operating in New York City. Trump responded, "Well, then we'll have to arrest him. Look, we don't need a communist in this country, but if we have one, I'm going to be watching over him carefully on behalf of the nation. We send him money, we send him all the things he needs to run a government." Taking up Republican Tennessee Representative Andy Ogle's call for the Department of Justice to denaturalize and deport Mamdani over his political affiliations, Trump added, "We're going to be watching that very carefully. And a lot of people are saying he's here illegally. You know, we're going to look at everything. And ideally, he's going to turn out to be much less than a communist. But right now, he's a communist. That's not a socialist." End quote. In a statement posted on social media, Mamdani said Trump's remarks don't just represent an attack on our democracy, but an attempt to send a message to every New Yorker who refuses to hide in the shadows. If you speak up, they'll come for you. We will not accept this intimidation. End quote. Mamdani, a member of the Democratic Socialist of America and the Democratic Party, concluded his statement with a futile appeal to, quote, "remember in November," calling on voters to reject it in November. This comes under conditions in which Trump, who less than 5 years ago launched a violent coup attempt to overturn the results of the 2020 election, is now being granted legal authority to construct a presidential dictatorship. Trump himself acknowledged the bankruptcy of such electoral appeals, boasting that the Supreme Court had granted him a great court victory on Friday that allows us to do what we have to do. At the same press conference, filled with great replacement talking points and the routine demonization of immigrants as packs of animals and monsters, Trump declared that he would like to see more concentration camps in many states, making clear that these camps are not temporary measures, but the foundation of a vast police state apparatus. Trump added, at some point, they might morph into a system where you're going to keep it for a long time. It's not that far away from jails that take years to build. End quote. Prior to touring the camp with Trump, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis announced that the state would be interning an additional 2,000 immigrants and detainees at Camp Blanding, a National Guard base and training center. Quote, I think this is a model, and we need other states to step up, he said. DeSantis added that, we're offering up our National Guard and other folks in Florida to be deputized, to be immigrant judges. Turning to Trump, he noted, we're working with the Department of Justice for the approvals. To which Trump replied, yup, yup. DeSantis continued, and then you will have, I will have, a National Guard judge advocate here. Someone has a notice to appear. Biden would tell them to come back in 3 years and appear. Now, you'll be able to appear in like a day or two. So they're not going to be detained, hopefully, for all that long. End quote. There have been nearly daily protests at the entrance to the facility since construction began last week. On Tuesday, over 100 people lined the road leading to the site, holding handmade signs in defense of immigrants and denouncing Trump and DeSantis. Some called for the pair to be imprisoned. One protester held a cardboard sign that read, Save the Glade, no immigration camps, no alligator Alcatraz, no concentration camps. A PBS News NPR Marist poll released Tuesday showed Trump's support on immigration collapsing, with only 43% approving and 52% disapproving. The poll conducted June 23rd to 24th found that two-thirds of Americans agree with the statement that openness to people from all over the world is essential to the country, including 85% of Democrats and 68% of independents. A majority, 54%, said they believe the actions of ICE have gone too far. Trump's 43% approval rating on immigration matches his overall job approval, which has remained underwater since at least the 100-day mark in April. At the same time, only 27% of Americans say they approve of congressional Democrats, down from 39% in February 2024. A majority, 58%, disapprove. Congressional Republicans fare only slightly better, with a 36% approval rating, propped up by 73% support among self-identified Republicans. Israel's Eighth Domestic Front, An Ever-Widening Genocide and War, by Gene Shaw. A Knesset House committee voted Monday for the expulsion of Knesset member Ayman Odeh, who leads the predominantly Israeli-Palestinian Hadash Ta'al party. If 90 of the 120 lawmakers approve Odeh's expulsion, he will have the right to appeal to the Supreme Court. In an earlier House committee session on June 21st, Osher Shkalim, from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's Likud party, told Odeh, in another country, you'd face a firing squad. Odeh's crime? His social media posts last January, in which he expressed his happiness at the release of hostages and prisoners, and his hope that both Israelis and Palestinians would be free from the occupation. It is a warning that the Israeli state is preparing further massive repression against Palestinian citizens, who constitute 20% of its population, and to widen Israel's genocidal offensive, even as it prepares further military assault on Iran. The first discussion on Odeh's ouster on June 21st was supposed to be limited to a social media post in January, not to a speech to a 2,000-strong demonstration on May 31st in the mixed port city of Haifa. A second motion for his expulsion, submitted in June, was ruled out of order for failing to meet the committee's procedural requirements. Addressing demonstrators in Haifa, Odeh called the U.S.-Israeli war in Gaza a, quote, historic defeat of the right. It was vanquished in Gaza. Gaza has won, and Gaza will win, end quote. He appealed to anti-government protesters who have called for a hostage deal to unite with the peace movement, insisting that the government's dictatorial efforts to overhaul the judicial system could only be fought by ending the occupation of the Palestinian territories. Calling for the establishment of a Palestinian state, he told demonstrators, "You are the overwhelming majority in the world. You are on the right side of history and the future. The Israeli government calls for the annihilation of a people. We'll tell them to their face, this is genocide. This is ethnic cleansing." End quote. Ophir Katz, the committee chair from the Likud party, said of Odeh, "Your presence pollutes the Knesset. There's no place here for terrorists like you. It's disgraceful that you sit with us. Ayman Odeh is our eighth front. What does it mean Gaza will win? Who stands behind Gaza? Hamas? Since the October 7th attack? Odeh hasn't once called Hamas or Hezbollah a terrorist group. On the contrary, he justifies their actions." End quote. Odeh pointed out in his response, "The chair of this committee said that Israel faces seven fronts and called me the eighth. This is incitement to murder, nothing less." End quote. Ida Tomos Limon, another member of Hadash Ta'al, said, "I feel this is no longer a process or anything resembling a judicial procedure. The decision has already been made by everyone around the table. They all know it and don't care to listen. They've sealed our fate." This was a reference to the government's efforts to ban parties representing Israeli-Palestinian citizens, with a bill targeting candidates and party lists that support, quote, lone attackers against Israeli citizens from seeking election without first seeking Supreme Court approval. In November, the Knesset suspended Ofer Kassif, a Jewish Hadash Ta'al lawmaker, for his opposition to the genocide and his support for South Africa's case to the International Court of Justice for a six-month period. Thomas Liman added, "What has happened so far isn't just against Knesset member Odeh, but incitement against the entire Hadash Ta'al faction. When they say that in another country we'd be facing a firing squad and that we're the eighth front, that is incitement to terror." End quote. Responding to the committee's vote, Odeh said, "The opposition crossed a red line today. Instead of fighting the Kahanist government, it collaborated with it in crushing the democratic space. Some of them hate us more than they love democracy. This is not an opposition. It's the coalition in disguise." He called on the opposition parties to vote against his expulsion. Katz's remarks make explicit that the government views its Palestinian citizens as the enemy within, and a target in its U.S.-funded war against the Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank and Iran and its allies in Lebanon, Syria, Yemen, and Iraq. This is part of Washington's plans for a wider war against China for control of the resource-rich and geostrategically vital Middle East. Under Israel's nation-state law, enshrining de facto apartheid-style discrimination and segregation, Palestinian Israelis are second-class citizens. Their towns and villages have long been denied equal financing for education, health, and welfare, and planning permission for housing and public and social infrastructure. In recent weeks, during Iran's retaliatory strikes, they were left to fend for themselves. A 2018 State Comptroller's report found that 60 of 71 municipalities with Palestinian citizens of Israel, including Tamra, with its 35,000 residents, lacked public shelters. 4 Palestinians were killed in Tamra, about 25 kilometers east of Haifa, when an Iranian missile struck the residential building. Some of the areas where Palestinians live, particularly in the southern Negev, home to Bedouin villages, are designated open areas where Israel's Iron Dome interceptors deliberately allow missiles to fall or detonate interceptors overhead, showering civilians with deadly shrapnel. The Israeli Defense Forces, the IDF, and settlers have redoubled their efforts to expel 2,500 Palestinians living in villages in the southwestern Bank region of Masafer Yatta. At the beginning of May, the IDF raised most of Kelet al-Dabeh. A new military directive citing the IDF's war preparations against Iran says the residents of the area must be expelled, quote, using the full range of civilian and security tools at the army's disposal, including automatic rejection of all applications for building licenses, threatening 12 of Masafer Yatta's 20 villages. Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich, the fascist leader of the religious Zionism Party, has consolidated his control over construction in the West Bank by installing allies in key positions. He has said his goal is to deepen the settlement project across the land of Israel and prevent the establishment of a Palestinian terror state. Smotrich, along with National Security Minister and Jewish power leader Itamar Ben-Gvir, was sanctioned a few days ago by Australia, Canada, New Zealand, Norway, and the UK for, quote, inciting extremist violence against the Palestinians in the West Bank, a move aimed at deflecting criticism for their unremitting support for the U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza. After the demolition in Kelet al-Dabeh, settlers immediately set up an outpost, harassing those who remained and looting their property until Israeli and international activists forced them to withdraw. Elsewhere, settlers have attacked the village of Kafr Malik, southeast of Ramallah, numerous times, killing a 14-year-old boy on Monday and 3 Palestinians on Wednesday afternoon, provoking violent confrontations and prompting the military to declare the area a closed military zone. On Friday night, dozens of settlers attacked and tried to ram IDF soldiers with their cars as they headed towards Kafr Malik, leading to the arrest of 6 settlers. A few days ago, Israel's security cabinet, at Smotrich's behest, approved 5 illegal outposts established without prior approval by the government. It gave the go-ahead to expand some existing settlements and impose additional punitive measures against the Palestinian Authority in retaliation for the Palestinian Authority's legal action against Israel at international courts and the recent recognition of Palestine statehood by 5 European countries. These measures follow Smotrich's statement last month that Israel was advancing plans to annex the West Bank, quote, without the government being accused of annexing it, end quote. In May, the cabinet voted to take sole responsibility for land registration in Area C of the West Bank, stripping the Palestinian Authority's land registry of its authority in a de facto annexation of the majority of Palestinian land. The move is a violation of international law. Last July, the International Court of Justice declared Israel's occupation of Palestinian territory illegal and called for the evacuation of all settlements in the West Bank and East Jerusalem. According to the UN, since the 7th of October 2023, Israeli settlers and the army have killed over 1,000 Palestinians and wounded over 7,000 in the West Bank, while the Israeli authorities have demolished, confiscated, or forced the demolition of 3,844 properties, including 1,376 homes in the West Bank and East Jerusalem. The IDF have emptied 3 refugee camps in the West Bank, displacing more than 40,000 Palestinians from their homes, and installed hundreds of checkpoints. Settler attacks, under the protection of the Israeli military, are part of a broader plan by Israel's fascist government to provoke the Palestinians in the West Bank into an attack that can be used, like the 7th of October attack, as the pretext for a broader war against the Palestinians. It has the approval of Israel's financial backers in Washington, with President Donald Trump calling for Netanyahu's long-running corruption trial to be abandoned. He said of this criminal wanted by the International Criminal Court on charges of war crimes and crimes against humanity, "Bibi Netanyahu's trial should be canceled immediately, or a pardon given to a great hero who has done so much for the state of Israel." End quote. You can find all this and more at the World Socialist website, WSWS.org. This has been Archie Stone for the World Socialist website.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.